Professionals spend nearly half the work week on written communication, so focus is important. With Grammarly as your AI writing partner, focus and quickly get through work with relevant real-time suggestions. And it works across 500,000 apps and websites, so you can sound more confident and persuasive wherever you write. 93% of professionals report that Grammarly helps them get more work done. Download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's Monday. That means it's time for the Wrestling Inc. Monday Night Raw after show. And have we got a show for you? We've got all sorts of stuff going on, whether you're from SmackDown, whether you're from Raw. It's all going down on a two-hour Monday night. We're going to get into all of that, but first let me introduce the crew. I'm Jack Farmer, being joined by the Canadian heat magnet himself, Jimmy Corderas, and special guest this evening, Emily May. Emily, thanks for joining us on a Monday.
Hi, thank you for having me. Happy to, I feel like I need a J name. I got Jimmy and Jack. I need like a, we were talking nicknames. I need a name.
Emily J.
Okay, Emily J. Okay. You can call me J.
Well, you don't want to say MJ?
Or MJ. Yeah, that works.
In any case, it's a big day. Jimmy, you're here on Turkey Day up there in Canada. Thanks so much for joining us. Are you going to be 100%? Is the turkey going to bog you down?
No, that's not enough. Are you kidding? With this Mediterranean DNA that I have, turkeys are nothing. Yeah. We eat entire lambs and entire sheep, so, you know.
I'm glad, Jimmy, you're doing better. I think the last time we were on a podcast, you were quite sick.
I was bogged down. I had a bullfrog in my throat that night, I got through the grind, bruv.
Yeah, you can't slow Jimmy down. Nothing stops him. I've already got some folks in the chat here. Thanks for joining us already. So a quick announcement in case people haven't heard just yet. As you may have heard, for a variety of factors, we will unfortunately no longer be hosting a weekly NXT show. So from what I understand, we will still be covering the PLEs on the weekends. But as far as the weekly show goes, we will not be covering that anymore. So make sure to save all of your chats, all of your conversation for the Wednesday Dynamite show that will come on the Wednesday show there. We will be back for Wednesday. And of course, SmackDown will still always be covered as well. So make sure to check those out. Also, though, speaking of PLEs and pay-per-views and covering those things, if you haven't had the chance, go back and watch our live review from Flobo Boyce and Jimmy Corderas that took place right after Wrestle Dream. You guys had a great time, Jimmy. Now, of course, don't give away the whole show. We want everyone to go back and check it out. But any final quick thoughts on Wrestle Dream?
No, I thought it was, you know, from an in-ring standpoint, that's not my issue with AEW. My issues are with the way they present their stuff. It's really too fast sometimes. And having how many matches were on that? 14 altogether, if you include the pre-show. That's a little much. I'm not saying they need to go like a five-match structure like the WWE does, but there has to be a happy medium in there somewhere. 7, 8. You know, I think that's a good wheelhouse.
I am such a fan of those five show cards, Emily. I think they are just the best. I love that they're in, they're out, and I like shorter shows. I always say 90-minute movies are my favorite movies. Mm-hmm. I love them shorter, but Emily, did you have a chance to check out Wrestle Dream? And if so, what were your thoughts? What were your takeaways?
Yeah, so it was really, I think, jam-packed and really intense. I feel like the pay-per-views for AEW, they always are so over the top. And lately, there's been a lot of over the top violence and uncomfortable moments for the fans. And so I think obviously we'll hit the news soon, but obviously it led to some really intense moments that everyone's still talking about. But I think overall it was really, it was a really fun show. I was at last year's Wrestle Dream. I wasn't able to come this year, but watching from home, it still seemed like the fans were really into it.
Yeah, Tacoma, Washington, my hometown. Thank you guys for representing. You guys got to see what could be the greatest of all time, depending on who you ask. Brian Danielson, hang up the full-time boots. Speaking of, we've got some news regarding that. Brian Danielson's last match, Fightful Select, has since reported that Danielson specifically wanted it to be Moxley who ended his farewell title run. Brian Danielson went into the bout with a series of legitimate injuries, which led him to second-guess his decision to work the three matches leading into WrestleDream. The report also notes that Danielson had legitimately been working without a contract for the past few months, something Danielson had mentioned before challenging Swerve Strickland for the title at All In, and he is effectively a free agent. However, Fightful says AEW hopes Danielson will stay around the company, wrestling periodically and resuming other duties when he's ready to do so. Danielson himself said he would need to get his neck treated first, likely with surgery. As far as the surgery goes, Jimmy, Meltzer says, we've seen a lot of guys come back from neck surgery. I mean, he's been talking about this for a long, long time and knew the day was going to come. Meltzer added that he thinks that he will be on TV again at some point. Jimmy, AEW feels like they risk a lot sometimes with these no contracts, people who are injured or working hurt, but still coming through. But it seems like, at least with the legends, it tends to pay off. We think of Sting and everyone else. Thoughts on all this that was going on behind the curtain?
Yeah, it's very interesting. Someone like a Brian Danielson is an honorary guy, honorable guy. He's going to do what's right, what he believes is right from an ethical standpoint, from his ethics. You know what I mean? That's an old school thing. It's a handshake deal. You honor that deal. And if he says he's going to be around and he's going to stick around afterwards, you got to take him at his word. Someone like that is not going to, you know, just say it to say it. Mm-hmm. He's an honorable guy. And as far as the injuries go, the neck is a very tricky thing. You got to be careful around that. You know, that surgery may go very well. And even if it goes very well, it could be 9 months to a year before you can actually even think about getting back in a ring. So that's very tricky. And you know, hopefully he does go through the surgery that he needs very well. And everything goes, you know, obviously for his family. For his family's sake, because as much as you love this business, I know how much he loves this business. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, family does come first and your health does come first. So hopefully he remembers that, especially doing those three matches leading into that match with Moxley. You know, yeah, pretty much it.
Yeah, Emily, we got a chat question here from Jared Smith. Says, why Mox? Any ideas? Now, as far as I know, I haven't heard anything official on this, but if you were to recklessly speculate, why do you think Moxley was the person Brian Danielson specifically wanted to put an end to his in-ring career, or his full-time career is what I should say?
I mean, we know they have a history previously. So I feel like, and Moxley, when you look at like everyone on the AEW roster, I feel like Mox is the only one that I feel like could have, that Danielson and it could have worked with to have this intense of a match. They already started, you know, the whole, plastic bag thing. They got that going. So having that, that intensity already, and they are both veterans. They both could really bring it out. And we obviously saw that bring it out of each other. But like Jimmy, I know you mentioned some of the, Danielson kind of perhaps working without a contract. And, you know, he is a stand-up guy. When he won the championship at All In, Birdie was there. Obviously his family was there. He talked about how important his family was and that he wants to watch his kids grow up. And it's a small window to do that. And if you're injured and you're in pain all the time, it's tough to do that. So I think, you know, he'll make the right decision for his family. And obviously, look, he loves wrestling, but also he loves his family. So he has to think about that and take the time he needs. And, you know, hopefully he's around to help, you know, backstage at AEW with some storylines and producing matches and making sure that the younger guys learning how to do, and women learning how to tell these stories like he is so great at, you know, he can be there for. So hopefully there is some behind the scenes role that he can have. But first, I think he just needs to get better and focus on that.
Something interesting. Now, I haven't fact checked this, but this is the internet, so we don't do mm-hmm. that here. Scott Langford says in the chat, yeah. Couple of coincidences. Rollins was Bryan's last match on Raw. Roman was the last match on SmackDown, and Mox was his last match in AEW. So sort of ran the gamut with the Shield there, Jimmy. Mm-hmm. Something, Jimmy, I want to talk to you about is we on the internet, we have a bunch of opinions about things mm-hmm. and about people. And something that stands out to me is Bryan Danielson. He's an honorable guy. Mm-hmm. He also is really into pro wrestling, you know, and I feel right. like he's someone who I've never met the guy, but he doesn't just willy-nilly do certain things in pro wrestling. Mm-hmm. Choosing Jon Moxley, do you think that this is maybe something that all of us watching wrestling should say, you know what, maybe we can complain about him bleeding all the time, maybe we don't like his style, but clearly the guys in the back have a huge respect level for someone like Moxley.
Exactly. And obviously Bryan Danielson sees something in Moxley that he really likes, and he knows that it's something that can gel with what he does. Because Moxley is very adaptable. He can do something hardcore. He could wrestle with guys who are more acrobatic. And he could also wrestle guys who are very psychology-based, like Bryan Danielson, in the ring. And I think he has that respect factor for him. And also, there's something about Mox, especially lately with this new, you know, this isn't your company anymore kind of thing. There's a big mystery surrounding that whole thing. I know I talked about it with Lobo on Saturday, where the title belt, they placed it in a duffel bag, basically, you know, zipped up the bag. Claudio has the bag. It's almost like they hijacked the bag and said, you know what, this isn't yours anymore. This isn't what mm-hmm. this company's about. It's almost like there's going to be a new kind. You know, we could speculate all that we want, but
recklessly. Back,
yeah. And
that's but, what we do on the internet.
Exactly. Exactly. Right. But getting back to what you're saying about Bryan, obviously there was a reason why he chose Moxley. And I think a lot of it has to do with Moxley for the hard style that he works is actually pretty safe in the ring as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think that was a big factor as well.
The last thing on this, because this is a WWE show, we want to talk about that. I will say I did love the ending. I mean, I'm devastated that Bryan Danielson's full-time career is done, but I got a feeling we'll see him back too. I feel like he's one of those guys that's wrestling when he's 85 years old. But I did love how that group was presented in a way that it felt very NWO-ish. If you remember that early on in the NWO days where the locker room was trying to stop them and they were just beating people up as they were coming out and lawn darting Rey Mysterio, just had that like, oh, this is a serious threat and no one can stop them. And I loved that aspect about it. But we got some more news here, more retirement news, unfortunately. Tanahashi has announced that he will be retiring after 25 years. Wrestle Kingdom 20 in January. Emily May, I know you work very closely with New Japan Pro Wrestling, so this one's got to hurt.
This one, I feel like it does hurt. It does hurt, to be honest. I cried this morning or late last night when it broke. And, you know, we have so much history with him. The world, everyone respects him so much. But we still have a year, a little bit more than a year. And so I think that's going to be incredible. We're going to have some amazing matches. I know it because we're going to have all these retirement tours next year. We got mm-hmm. John Cena. Now we have Tanahashi. And it's going to be incredible, but it's going to be very heartwarming, very intense. Everyone's going to feel it because he's such a legend in this industry. But again, you know, obviously he won't be gone completely, but I think in-ring career is definitely that chapter will close.
Emily, I know it's hard to compare wrestlers that are that level, but for the fans here mm-hmm. in the United States that maybe don't watch as much New Japan Pro Wrestling, who would you compare Tanahashi to? Is he's like, I feel like, and you would know better, he's kind of like in America, he'd be like Randy Orton retiring, like someone who's been around forever and has done a lot of stuff, has been kind of backbone of the company. What's like, do you have a comparison you would compare him to?
Oh my goodness. I don't know. I don't even, Jimmy, do you have an idea? I don't even know how. Jimmy, who would be here?
trying to think now. I think I like the Randy Orton comparison because he is a complete performer. Yeah. You know, everything he does is solid. Everything looks good. It doesn't, you know, and again, Randy is one of those guys that can, you know, adapt to his opponents. And Tanahashi was exactly that same thing. Mm-hmm. You know, so, and like you said, Emily, he is a legend. You consider him a first ballot Hall of Famer. And anybody here in the States who's not familiar with his work, I suggest you go out and search his stuff on the internet. I think you'll be highly entertained.
Yeah.
Something I would say, Jimmy, before we move on from the sad retirement news, I would say when wrestling comes to your town and there you have the opportunity to see it, you should, because I went to a show Tanahashi was on and I got to see him live. And if I didn't see him live, I probably never would have gotten the chance to. And so now I get to say I saw him live, and you just never know when it's going to be someone's last time in your town. And that's why you always need to go check people out. I think it goes for like music too, whatever. Just go see people live, Jimmy.
Yeah, exactly. I like the music comparison because you don't know when the band has gone their final tour. They sit, you know, they usually announce it. But the ones that announce it usually come back for one last show anyway.
That's so true.
Doesn't that, the parallels between music and wrestling are incredible.
Oh, yeah. There's a connection there for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we also have, though, speaking of news over in Japan, Shinsuke Nakamura is returning to Noah, Jimmy. So he's going to be having another match over there. This is just another example of WWE talent getting to, I don't know, I was going to say break free, but that it sounds so negative. It's a good thing that
expand. WWE
getting to work expand. With other places, Jimmy.
Yeah, they're allowing talent to go out, especially someone like Shinsuke Nakamura, who's not being utilized on the main roster or even in NXT for that matter. Mm-hmm. So why not allow him to go back to his roots, go to Japan and participate there? They did it with AJ Styles not too long ago. Shinsuke has already had one match in Noah a little while back. So I like the fact that they're allowing certain talents to, well, they pick and choose the spots, but they're allowing them to go out and have matches elsewhere since they're not being utilized on television at the moment.
Yeah, and it's during that week. It's during that week of like all the Stardom shows, Wrestle Kingdom, all the New Japan shows. So it's a wild week for tons of wrestling talent to be over there in Japan. So. It's exciting. It's an exciting time that it's all around that timeline.
Yeah, Emily, they had different NXT wrestlers in I think it was G1 this year, and just a lot of obviously there's Bloodsport that WWE wrestlers are going to. Just really cool as time as a wrestling fan to get to see these wrestlers, Emily, in different places.
Yeah, I mean, it just helps expand like the audience, the crossover audience, and also just kind of gets the talent to kind of understand that type of wrestling and maybe like freshen up their skills a little bit. Because we've seen, you know, Stephanie, Julia debut on NXT. And again, that different type of technical wrestling is just going to help make you better. So,
yeah, baby, I was correcting me with the N1. That's right. I was thinking, I was saying G1, I was like, that doesn't sound right. But like, you know what I mean? It was messing me up. I was like, but that wasn't the G1, was it? That doesn't make sense. But anyways, thank you for correcting me, Baby Ice. Last bit of news before we get into a 2-hour edition of WWE Raw. Another Legends deal has been signed. This time, Cruiserweight Hornswoggle has been signed. Jimmy, do you think we're going to see Hornswoggle in the near future? We got the Royal Rumble coming up. That feels like a great Hornswoggle spot.
Now that you brought it up, that would be hilarious. And whoever said that Hornswoggle is a Cruiserweight, I dare you to put him on a scale and check it out. Hey, he rode in the back of our car many of times, and we had to, like, you know, anyways, he did weigh it down, let's put it that way. I gotta admit, I kid, but Hornswoggle was a good friend of mine, and I'm glad for him. It just shows that it's not just the icons and legends that you know, like the Shawn Michaels, like the Stone Colds and the Rocks and stuff like that. It's everybody down the card, because everybody has a spot on the card and everybody plays a role on the card. And he played his role very well all those years. And thank goodness, I guess we didn't leave him on the side of that highway that night. But oh yeah, we were going to leave him.
What did he do that you wanted to leave him on the side of the road?
Oh, I'm going to try and make this really quick, but it was myself, Tony Chimmel, unfortunately, and Larry Heck, the athletic trainer, and Hornswoggle in the car. I'm driving, of course, and we got a flat tire in the middle of nowhere on the side of the, so I pull over on the side of the highway. So we have to unload everything out of the trunk to get the spare tire and jack it up and stuff. So Larry and I are doing all the work, and Chimmel and Hornswoggle are nowhere to be found. So all of a sudden we hear these trucks going by honking their horn. And I thought it was because we were too close to the road. And I thought I pulled over enough. We look over behind us and there's Chimmel and Hornswoggle doing the motion to the trucks. Every truck that walks by to blow their horn to hear. While Larry and I are busting our butts trying to change this tire. So when we were, I had to corral Larry before he pushed him in traffic. But anyway, so we got everything back in the car. We got the luggage back in the car and he goes, let's go. He said, what? He says, let's go. So I started creeping up the road a little bit and they came running after the car. And we were just saying, and they were saying, you're lucky for Jimmy. Cause if Jimmy, if it wasn't for Jimmy, we would have left you there, you know, and they almost got left in the side of the road in the middle of nowhere.
Jimmy always being polite, even when you should have left Hornswoggle behind. But yeah, we got a lot of stuff to cover. And before we do, as always, I want to give a shout out to everyone who's joining us here, whether you are listening to the recorded version or whether you are with us live. Appreciate you guys. Like, comment, share, subscribe. Appreciate you guys. How about a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts? It's always appreciated with a little nice little message. It's always fun to read when I wake up in the morning if I see a new one. But also, if you're lurking, we appreciate you being here. And also, if you're in the chat, one of the co-hosts, as I call you, because you're helping us create this content, aren't you? Maria's here. We got Anthony Tornado Y. Where have you been, Anthony Tornado Y? I haven't seen you in a while. George Hermosa, who is a host on this show here. I apologize.
Hi, George.
Struggled to say your name. Abdifada Abdulali. I think I'm saying it wrong, but I appreciate you being here. Hari Ja and Baby Ice and Nitin and Brianne and Cody and him and Tuck and Jane and Flobo Boys booing.
Flobo boo.
Boo Flobo. Okay. Flobo. I'm booing
because him fighting for the Mets versus the Dodgers, so I'm booing him. But I'm sad. We messed it up today.
Well, we also got a super chat from Jake Allinar who says 2-hour Raws feel so good. That is all. Man, before we get into it, Jimmy, we've covered a lot of Raw in our time.
Yeah.
2 hours. I'm telling you, this was a pre-recorded show. I couldn't have told you that because it just felt great. It zipped right on by. What is 2 hours? Way to go.
I'm fine with this 2 hours. It was a nice tight package. And we know the attention span of the current audience is not what it used to be. So it's funny how they complained that, oh my goodness, it's a 3-hour show. I can't handle it anymore. It's too long. And now that they've cut back to 2 hours, I want my 3 hours back. I want that third hour. You know what? Wait till they go to Netflix. It won't be 3 hours maybe, but at least they have the flexibility to go 2:15, 2:20, whatever the case may be. Or maybe they'll keep it at 2. Who knows? But it's not a set time frame, which is good.
Yeah. Emily, 2 hours. We talked about the long pay-per-view shows. I like a nice concise show. 2 hours is typically my, if a movie is over 2 hours, I like to compare it to movies. Cause it's not just wrestling. 2 hours, movie goes over 2 hours. Every second better have been absolutely necessary for that movie to make sense.
Well, this 2 hours is less. It's actually less than 2 hours. Cause you have commercial breaks. So it's actually an hour, say each hour is really 44 minutes. So really you're cutting out, 40 minutes of programming with commercials.
Wait, if each hour is really only showing about 45 minutes, then together, that means 90 minutes. And I just started the show by saying 90 minute movies are my favorite.
See, exactly. And Jimmy, to your point, this was a super tight show. They fit a lot in, a lot of storytelling elements, a lot of media packages. They've been switching up the format of the shows a lot with this 2-hour format. So I really like it.
Yeah, a lot of stuff. Goodfellas says I like 3 hours. So maybe we're in the minority, but we'll see.
Compromise.
We'll see. Two hours, though. I like it. Netflix, don't get greedy. Just keep it at 2 hours. Keep it there.
Don't take 3-hour cruises. That's all.
3-hour tours.
Yeah, 3-hour tours.
Unless you like the beach.
Yeah. And you like to swim.
Mm-hmm. You know what? Gilligan had it pretty good, Jimmy. I'll be honest with you. Living on the beach, not having to pay rent. I mean, come on. He is living a good life.
Endless coconuts. I mean, it was fantastic.
Coconuts everywhere. You had all your friends right there. Life was good. If you told me, Jack, you're going to get a 3-hour tour and get to hang out with your friends on the beach for a long time, not paying for any of it, sign me up.
And a millionaire.
Yes. I mean, come on.
All right. Everyone in the chat should put who they would want to be on a stranded island with.
Oh, I like that.
Ooh, in the chat.
Who would you guys like to be stuck on a stranded island with? And I'm going to warn you. You can say my name, but that doesn't mean I want to be stranded on an island with you. I'm just honest.
I thought I was the heat magnet. Hey.
Now I know who I don't want to be on the island with.
I'm going to go to the other side of the island, Emily.
It's a small island.
Couldn't have been stuck on the lost island. Okay. I guess...
I want to be stuck with Wilson, the volleyball.
Wilson wouldn't be too bad. Wilson was a good listener.
We all know a great worker when we see one. And that's what the guys at 5-9 Whiskey are. Like a performer who leaves it all in the ring, the crew at Troll Co. have made a bourbon that's all about grit and sweat. You see, two old field guys figured, why not turn our daily grind into something you can sip on? And who wouldn't want a splash of hard work in their whiskey? 5-9 is made with 100% Kentucky corn, bringing you those crisp, fresh flavors with a smooth finish. They even took the trip to Owensboro, home of the 10th oldest distillery in Kentucky. They put in the work. The name 5-9 is a nod to those who clock in from 5 a.m. to 9 p.m., not the 9-to-5 life. These are the real champions who put in the sweat, tears, and more. Real life road warriors. They work hard. And now they're pouring that same energy into the whiskey. So why not grab a bottle? Help these guys out. They're literally drinking their profits. Cheers. Head to 59whiskey.com. That's FiveNineWhiskey.com. And use promo code WRESTLING20, that's 20, for 20% off your first order. Tools down, bottoms up.
Mm-hmm. We start the show off with...
Who's not a good listener.
Who's not a good listener at all. Rhea Ripley. Once Raquel and or Liv Morgan, but it's Tiffany Stratton that comes out. They exchange words before Liv and Raquel attack them both. Ripley goes to Adam Pearce and says she wants a match with Liv and Raquel, but Pearce says she needs to team with Tiffy Time in order to do so. During the match, Ripley and Tiffy don't work together great, but it doesn't matter as Nia Jax shows up and destroys Raquel and Liv Morgan. Nia Jax says it's time to cash in on Liv Morgan, but Dom Mysterio shows up and saves Liv. Jimmy, I thought this was an absolute booking masterclass, and I'm going to tell you why, because most of the people are people we're not supposed to like, but somehow they made this entertaining and exciting, and you didn't know how it was going to work out, and it also built up perfectly to Crown Jewel. This was incredible, Jimmy. This was an X's and O's masterclass.
It was interesting because I didn't expect Tiffy to come out, obviously, at the beginning with Rhea and to having the tag team match. I almost expected it once I saw Liv and Raquel go out. Oh, are they going to make this a tag match with those two? I hope they don't go with the usual. I hope they get along. I hope they can coexist, you know, and that sort of thing, which is already built in, so you don't have to say it ad nauseum. But you're right. I thought they connected the dots really well to Crown Jewel. And it made sense. The way they did it made sense. And that's the important thing. I thought all the pieces were put in the right places. And it was going to be difficult because you have technically two heels facing each other at Crown Jewel for that. Do the women have the same sort of title belt as the men? Do they get one too, a 50 carat?
Oh, yeah, they do.
Okay. Yeah.
I think
so,
we just saw the men's one that they reviewed.
Right.
I was going to say, Jimmy, they bring it out to the ring every time they have a title match. You didn't know that? I thought you were talking about the world title.
No.
I was like, Jimmy, how have you missed this?
Yeah, the new real expensive one.
Can you imagine the 50 carats of diamonds?
Yeah.
I hope they don't lose it. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. I wonder who pulled out the credit card for that one.
I don't know. Emily, This was a talk to me. A lot happened here.
I mean, a lot happened.
But break it down for me.
I mean, the buildup. So I loved the setup where Rhea's trying to find her tag team partner. Tiffy is kind of in this in-between spot where she's aligned with Nia. And they have this friction, this kind of back and forth of like, is Tiffy going to turn on Nia? Is Tiffy going to cash that in? We got a lot of that kind of teasing tonight. And Rhea, I don't know if you saw, like, I saw it online, the Wednesday Addams, and then there was like the picture that Rhea Ripley and Tiffy are like complete opposites. You got the bright pink, personality versus like straight, you know, angry, that look, right, from Rhea. And I liked how they had that friction because they're the total opposite. Like, you would not expect them to be a tag team. And that's what made this entertaining. And you set up those moments for Nia to come out and help Tiffy and set that tone. Raquel and Liv working together, obviously a natural setup, a natural connection. And here, what I noticed is they're establishing Raquel back into the Raw brand. They're establishing her back into in-ring action. And I feel like this tag match was a way to help her get to kind of show her dominance again. Because I don't know if everyone's sold on it, to be honest, yet. And so if she's teaming up with Liv and she has, you know, Dom there as well, and you have that dominant group that's kind of causing chaos, I think it's going to help Raquel kind of get to the place that she was before her return. But I really love this. I think it's spelling out like what leading into Crown Jewel, leading in, it's still adding that friction of between Rhea and Liv. You got a little of those moments in the ring tonight. Cause that's all we really want. We want to see Liv get, I mean, most of us, I think, get dethroned by Rhea Ripley. And how is that going to happen? And is Tiffy going to be the one to do it? And then it's Tiffy versus Rhea at some point. But this revenge tour on both ends is very destructive, and it's really fun to watch.
I love how Nia Jax is just absolutely, without question, the most dominant person in the women's division, either brands, and she displayed that today. I love how she just wrecks people, good, bad, whoever, wherever
they land.
She didn't
care, and that's what I love, yeah.
Fantastic to see that she's come so far. Adonde in the chat, I want to point this out though, says, these Crown Jewel buildups sort of show the brand split sometimes robs us of great matchups. And Jimmy, I want you to your take on two things. One, I want to say first to Adonde, I feel like what this does is preserves great matchups more than steals them. But also, I want your thoughts on that, Jimmy. And also, Emily May's comment that she just slipped in there that people aren't buying Raquel Rodriguez. What is your take on that, Jimmy? That shot fired.
I don't know if it was a shot fired. I think it was an observation. It was an observation. I mean, like, she, you know, it's kind of, and I hate to make comparisons to the, because we're talking Raw here and not AEW, but it's like Mariah May with Camille. Mercedes Moné with Camille. The person you have as your bodyguard, your heater, the one who towers over everybody, should look the strongest. And I don't think at times Raquel has looked like the strongest in the ring or in protection of Liv. Because it's still new, it's still fresh. There will come a time where you get your one up on her, but I think it's still too early. She should be very dominant at this time.
I mean, Raquel's the muscle. I mean, I'm nothing. Liv doesn't have muscles, but like Raquel's the muscle, right? You know, so the champion doesn't have to work as hard. You know, we've seen there's been shenanigans and things. You know, Liv doesn't win clean. We know that. So Raquel's there to do all the dirty work so that Liv doesn't have to. And she has to be dominant. She has to be clean, and her moves have to be precise. And that's what I'm looking for. Is you need to go in there and be dominant. And I want to see a bigger presence of that from Raquel. Mm,
right.
Jack trying to take me down. Gosh.
So let the record show that Emily May personally has issues with Raquel.
Oh, that's going to be all over the internet tomorrow.
Oh, my God, Jack, I don't.
I'm kidding.
I have beef with you.
Speaking of big presences, Cody Rhodes shows up to St. Louis where the birth of We Want Cody started. Gunther comes out and says he respects Cody and credits Cody for the boom period wrestling is in. Then Gunther says that a man that is friends to everyone is friends with no one. Cody says Gunther has never been to the deep waters, and Gunther calls Cody a secondary champion. Yeah. Emily May, in just keeping this tradition you have of picking sides, which one of these guys won the promo battle?
Cody Rhodes.
Cody Rhodes won the promo battle.
Let
the record show that Emily May personally does not
like. But let me tell you, Gunther has impressed me so much the last few months on the mic. He's funny. He's hitting his timing, especially with all the Goldberg stuff. So I feel like in this moment, Cody one, right? He soaked it in. He also had the St. Louis crowd behind him. But I feel like Gunther has great timing, is very funny, and is super charismatic. Not that Cody's charismatic too, but I'm saying Gunther did not necessarily win this moment, but I would say he's won previous moments recently.
I love this this showdown. And I'm going to be honest, going into it, this, I'm not a fan of the setup of this situation of the champs going against each other, similar to the old Survivor Series setup. But this promo, as two guys who are great at doing this they totally sold me. Adonde with the comment that best sums it up. Gunther is the best at building you up before insulting.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, and that's hard to do. That's so hard to do.
Serious
and funny at the same time. And like the funniness, you can't force the comedy. It comes because you're so serious about it. Mm-hmm. And you like hit those like highs and lows in your promo. And he's doing it perfectly.
Yeah, the whole time he was talking, you know, he's saying like, I respect you. And you're like, but, you know, and you're the reason for the boom period. But waiting for it to come.
It has that like that roller coaster, right? Where it's like, you're gonna go up and then
it's like someone helping you up the ladder. Oh, here, one more rung, and then they yank the ladder out from under you.
Jimmy, what's your take on this? Do you like the idea of this championship, champion versus champion? I'm gonna be honest, I think we mentioned it last week or on one of the shows. I feel like we give AEW a hard time about this kind of booking. Like, we're just going to have two champions have a match for something that is unrelated. How do you feel about the premise of this?
I'm not sold on the premise just yet, but I don't mind them having it only because it's not something that happens often. Mm-hmm. We don't get it all the time. When you keep something to a minimum, it means that much more. And they are trying to make it sound like it is a huge deal. And I like the fact that it's not a title that's going to be traveling around. So thank goodness nobody has to lug that thing in their carry-on luggage through airports, because that's going to be a task. But it's a championship that is only specifically for the Saudi market there. And that's it, which is good. But as far as the promo battle tonight, I thought there were little nuances from Cody that were a little heelish in his presentation. And I've been noticing that a little more lately. It's very, very subtle. Mm-hmm. It's not like very, overt where people go, oh, look at that. It's kind of like, you know, look at the undertones. Look at the way he's speaking. It's not the same Cody Rhodes. Yeah. It's almost like this little bit of heel coming out in him. And the lines that Gunther threw, like you said, Emily, were just fantastic. You know, that, especially the line, secondary championship was good, but the one that he said about you're trying to be friends with everybody and then nobody is your friend.
And no one, yeah.
Yeah.
Jimmy, I got a question for you. Double question. Mm-hmm. when you were in WWE, did they have anything similar to this championship, like kind of a thing you win and then it's not something that's carried around, like an Andre the Giant memorial trophy, something like that? And if so, where does it go when it's not on the road? Do they, is there just a generic warehouse it all goes to, or does, do you think someone like, is Triple H going to put it on his mantle? Like, where does this very expensive thing going to sit?
No, they've got this huge warehouse in Stamford if you were to walk through that, you would be shocked at some of the memorabilia they have in there from the past. But as far as those trophies and the Andre the Giant Memorial Trophy, all that stuff is in the warehouse.
Yeah. Well, is it now at the headquarters, their new headquarters? I think some of it's on display.
Yes. There's a lot of stuff in display. Yeah.
So I guess they're going to put this expensive that championship. I don't know how much that thing's going to be worth. It's just going to sit in a warehouse. That just seems ridiculous to me. It's just a box that it's sitting in, like my old PlayStation 3 that I can't get rid of, but I'm never going to play again, sitting in the garage.
It's my spelling bee participation trophies. That's where it's sitting in my.
Someone's going to be cleaning up, like dusted off, like, oh yeah, this thing.
I think it's going to stay in Saudi Arabia. I don't think it's coming to the warehouse in Stamford.
Oh, that's probably a good pit. Yeah.
They do have one of those like immersive walkthroughs in Saudi Arabia, the like immersive museum. So maybe it will go there.
Yeah.
That's a good point. I have a feeling also it could be one of those things where it's just post show gifted to someone who is very important to that country or area or people throwing the event. You know what I mean? Like I said, hey, you paid a lot of money for a ticket or whatever. Here you go. I don't know. Speaking of championships, this next match had none of those. Braun Breaker had a match with Kofi Kingston. That's what we call a zigzag transition. So Braun and Xavier both explained their actions last week. We get to the match of Braun Breaker versus Kofi Kingston. Braun gets the win, but Xavier Wood arrives to stop Braun Breaker from attacking Kofi further. Doesn't do a very good job of it because Braun gets the upper hand again before Jey Uso is out now and makes the save. Later, Jey Uso runs into Jimmy Uso, but Jey Uso says no. Now, Jimmy, thoughts on the match and also thoughts on, I guess, the real story here, Jey and Jimmy Uso.
No, I enjoyed the match very much. And obviously, this is the time where Braun Breaker will get his heat back, for lack of a better term. And the stuff with Xavier and Kofi, that just more layers added to their dissension. With Jey coming out, making the save, again, adds more layers to the story with him and Braun. And they're also adding another layer with him and Jimmy, because Jimmy, as we saw on Friday night, was telling Roman, we need help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We need help in this. We're outnumbered. We need help. Yeah. So, you know, Roman said, no yeet.
But
I'm just saying, you know what's going to happen in the future, and imagine the pop that is going to get.
Yeah, when Roman finally says it.
And when they finally get the Usos back together.
Emily, right now, I feel like what Jey is looking for is someone to be there to say to Jimmy Uso, scram! He doesn't want to talk to you.
This is a new Jey. Mm-hmm. Get it? Jey. No. Okay. It didn't work.
you just gave me a nickname for our host here. New Jack.
New Jack.
Well, not hey.
What was your question about this?
Sorry. To make the internet meme. Scram.
we're not doing. Oh, I'm. There's enough memes out there. Scram. I don't need more, Jack.
I want to talk to you.
No, but to Jimmy, to your point, it really is building this heat between Jimmy and Jey. I mean, Jimmy's return was huge, but it's like it's causing this rift between not only the the Usos, but also the people they're aligning themselves with mm-hmm. and who they're helping. And so we're building these little stories. The Bron Breakker, this moment I think was really important for him. Then added, the fact that Xavier's coming out to help Kofi, shows that maybe they're not as troubled as we've seen them in the past. Maybe this will help mend them if they get some help. But people turn on each other all the time. So
that sure do help. Like Emily, when she buries wrestlers personally. but Scott Lakeford with a question, Emily, and I want to pose this one to you. Says, not a question, but a statement. Says, Solo will somehow cost Jey Uso the title next week. Now, Emily, that would obviously free up Jey Uso and open up a clear path to re-teaming with Jimmy and the bloodline. But do you feel like if they did that, wouldn't that kind of undermine this big moment of Jey Uso becoming a singles champion for the first time and only having the title for a few weeks?
Yeah, no, Jey needs to like really kind of take in the championship. He needs to have like a really good long championship reign. Eventually, hopefully he'll be able to mend that relationship with Jimmy. But there's other people that are eyeing it, and there's other people that are going to try to take advantage of that. As a champion, again, you have a target on your back. And even the closest people you have to you could be the ones that take it from you. So you have to be careful of that as well. People that know you the best might take it from you. So I think Jey is so popular right now that he needs to take advantage of that. But he has to be careful.
Leonard Jones, the question, Jimmy, says, do we actually think New Day splits, or are they going for a feel-good moment of them patching things up?
Feel-good moment. We've seen the New Day. They've earned the right to go on their own and try their singles careers. Mm-hmm. Xavier Woods has a lot to offer as a singles competitor, and we know Kofi can do it because of his past as a singles competitor. So I think people, and I hate to say this because I like them personally and professionally, it's time to end the New Day.
Jimmy Corderas personally attacking the New Day.
Jack, are you okay? I think you died inside a little bit.
Listen, I'm just doing a review show. You guys are making this all personal.
Hold on. Where's the tea? Let me spill the tea real quick. Dang, Jimmy and I are just bringing the heat.
Yes.
You know what my prediction is that the person that takes the title from Jey Uso is Kofi Kingston. And that leads Xavier Woods, who is adamant about becoming a champion, to eventually say that's the only way he can do it is by facing his friend. That's my prediction.
Heartbreaking, Jack. Heartbreaking. See, I told you, the people closest to you.
Mm-hmm. But then Kofi turns and hits Woods with brass knucks. I don't know.
Please don't say it like that.
Jose says, that's a bad idea, Jack. I have been very clear about my terrible booking decisions. So
I'm not making you a general manager, Jack.
Because if it was me, you know who the champion would be.
Akira Tozawa,
Akira Tozawa, who, by the way, had a match this evening alongside Otis.
I see what you did there.
Otis here, who they faced the returning War Raiders in a tag title number one contenders match. Now, War Raiders get the win, Emily, but let's face it, the story is that they have returned and that they're using their old name. I mean, thoughts? Comments.
I mean, this is awesome. I mean, both of them excited to have him back. They both have struggled with injuries, at separate times. The fact that they're together again, back to the War Raiders. Again, we talked a lot about tag teams and that we need to like really drive that division a little bit more. And so I'm excited to have another really strong tag team. And I liked how they're their graphics shifted and it's like, yeah, mm-hmm. they're, you know, and so we're back, that energy's back. And it's that great feel again.
What is in a name? I feel like the name, it's just changing the name back to War Raiders has yeah. given these guys a totally new life and has really brought back totally. This, yeah. their dominant feel from NXT. Uh-huh. Jimmy, you know, I made a point earlier, but uh-huh. I got to bring it back. WWE doing a random unannounced tournament without any of the other competitors mentioned for a number one contendership spot. Sounds a lot like something we would have given AEW a hard time about. Are we seeing some parallels here?
Well, I would have preferred a little more time. Let's put it that way. Announce it and announce the brackets or something like that. We're getting just the matches thrown on there. Okay, and next week. We got one tonight. And next week we're having these two matches.
I should also add this is right after two tournaments of King and Queen of the Ring as well. So this is the third tournament in a few months.
Right. So a little bit tournament heavy, let's put it that way. But I will say this about the return of the War Raiders. I like the return. I feel sorry for Tozawa. Two things that irked me in this thing, though. One is the dropping the ball of Otis, because yeah. they had an opportunity with this guy to make a real, real star. And for some reason, he got Wardlowed. I don't get it. And as far the finish with the War Raiders, it looks impressive, but you've already got a big guy that does a splash. I know this was a variation of it, but you got a big guy that on the same brand that yeah. does a splash off the top rope.
Yeah.
You know, these guys can come up with something else, something very unique for a tag team. But I think two big guys that come up for a splash off the top rope is a little bit too much. I complain about it from elsewhere. When mm-hmm. I see too many of the same move somewhere else, I'm going to complain about it here too.
Jimmy, yeah. you're not going to get your check if you.
it's a blue check. We don't care about the blue checks.
Jimmy, like, it's funny you bring that up because I had that thought as well when War Raiders came out and I was like, oh man, Otis is there. Otis is a big dude too. It's like the mm-hmm. similar build, similar matchup. And so as I was watching this match, I was like, ooh, they're going to have to shift their moveset because they can't do the same thing. They both can't do the big brooding, you know, dominant big guy moves. Like you can't necessarily do that on each other. Like it was a little, it was going to be too much, too heavy. And so that's what I was struggling with. It was like, how are they going to differentiate both teams? If it was going to be like a big dude match, you know, big brooding match. So
yeah, Otis has been really like his career has had so many, like he's right on the precipice and then for whatever reason mm-hmm. just goes away. I mean, going all the way back to like him winning Money in the Bank, him with Mandy Rose, you know, now his current situation where like he was there and like we never even really got the blow off Jimmy of Otis and
Chad Gable.
Yeah. Like, it just disappeared.
Yeah. And there's no explanation for it. And in my opinion, none will do.
Yeah. It's because now it's too late. I feel like if they go back to it, like, oh, that's old news.
I think they shifted gears with the Wyatt Six, when that yeah. came to fruition and they ready to debut it. Then they said, oh, well, this takes precedence at the moment.
Which in hindsight, I feel like if you just delayed 1 week, you could have gotten the Otis Chad Gable moment, but yeah. I digress. We get to Jade Cargill. I kept wanting to say Chad Gable instead of Jade Cargill. I never thought I'd get those two so hard to say together. Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair versus Damage Control, Lash Legend and Jakara Jackson at ringside. A popping matchup with Jackson and Legend getting involved at ringside, helping Cargill and Belair retain. Emily May, this one for my dollar, match of the night. These four ladies just crushed it.
Yeah, I mean, this was an incredible match. I really do like how we had other, you know, Legend and Jackson kind of looking to the side throughout the match before, you know, we saw their match. And this is building the women's tag team division. And this was just a really, you know, that clash of styles, just the clash of strength and acrobatics. And I really loved this. I feel like the Jade and Bianca have faced others, you know, from damage control in different scenarios, but this was really unique match to have on Raw. And I like how it really kind of opened up the episode and teased further matches with some of these younger talent.
Yeah, Jimmy, I've twice now related things to AEW. This is in a way very opposite of that. And maybe something where AEW could improve is you have this new team, and the way they are integrating this team into the main roster so naturally, but so quickly, and clearly saying, hey, this is where this team stands, by having Chikara and Lash at ringside. Also, they had the match on SmackDown, but also having them rubbing shoulders with the biggest tag team in the company, tag teams in the company, but also bringing in talent and people where they're needed. So not just, hey, we're just bringing up someone when we already have a ton of talent in this situation, but we've talked before, the women's tag team division, it needs some teams. It really has just been a perfect use of talent, Jimmy.
I agree. And they looked like they belonged. It wasn't like they looked out of place. Yes, they didn't look out of place in the least. I like the fact that they look like they belong, and they're building something with the women's division. And you can argue that they are possibly right now the deepest they've ever been in the women's division, in the especially in the tag team division. And there was one little thing in the match that I really found interesting was they are teasing subtle little hints of issues between Jade and Bianca. And there was another one tonight when she when Jade had Bianca up and went to do the slam on top of, I think it was Kairi Sane, but Kairi moved. And you saw Jade slam her right down on the canvas and kind of do that, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do it kind of thing. And there was a quick glance from Bianca when she did it. So it's just a subtle little thing that may play down in the future, but maybe nothing. I don't know. But to me, that's something I noticed. And I thought, you know, if they go that route in the future, at least that was a tiny little seed that was planted that could be played on.
Yeah.
Well, that's one of those things we talked about too on Wednesdays, Jimmy, about how not rushing through things and giving, like, planting these seeds for a while. But Emily, you were saying?
No, I was saying, like, one thing that I have been craving from Bianca and Jade is I really want a unified entrance.
Yes.
And I don't know if everyone feels that way, because everyone feels differently depending on the tag team. But I feel like, I know they're trying to establish them. They're very strong, like, singles competitors. But, like, as a team, I think they always look amazing. They always have their gear on point, matching, really integrated and looking flawless. Right. But I want them to be a unit coming out. And I think that will, for their second reign, I think they need something to really make them the top tag team, even visually, in, like, right off the bat. So that's one thing I've been craving. I don't know if other fans have as well, and other people watching, but that's one thing that I think could up their game. But I get how they might want to keep it separate, because, again, Jimmy, to your point, they're adding little breadcrumbs, little clues that they might turn on each other.
I agree with that. I think every tag team who is a real tag team should have a single entrance. If you're like one off, I get it. Like, cool, enter separately. But if you're a legitimate, like, we're a team and we're going for the titles, you should have a single entrance. And I think your gear should match, unless you're like an oddball team, like The Rock and Mick Foley. Okay, I get that. I get that. That's different. But otherwise, your gear should match. I want you to look like a team.
Unless you're teaming with John Cena, because I think a lot of guys don't want to wear jorts.
Well, you can't see him anyways.
But they get in the way.
Listen, if I was tag team with John Cena, I would absolutely wear jorts. And
Jack jorts. That's your name.
I'd have it all.
I would bust out the Zubaz.
If you're team with Cena, I mean, come on. Yeah. And I would use his music, because people don't even know my entrance theme. Mm. I don't have one. But
I get you one.
Speaking of great entrance themes, R-Truth He still thinks that The Miz and him are friends. So they have their match, but The Miz, by the way, no wrist tape, Miz. I mean, well, I don't know what that was all about. He says they're not friends. Final Testament comes out, and while Miz is looking at them, Truth rolls him up. Truth gets the win over the former world champion. And after the match is through, Miz still hits a soul-crushing finale. That's what it felt like, Jimmy, when he hit R-Truth. My soul was crushed. I don't know if you could do anything to be a bigger bad guy than team with Karrion Kross and attack R-Truth.
It's very interesting, the association with Karrion Kross and the AOP, because during this match summer, or during the entrance, didn't we see some wonky video again?
We absolutely did.
Yeah. And we know that the Wyatt Six are after what appear to be broken families.
Yes.
And Miz is maybe now the target, now that he's associating himself loosely right now with Karrion Kross and AOP. Maybe that's a target. And if they do, then it works, because it's a 4-on-4 situation. And there is someone for Nikki Cross to also, get her hands on as well. So it evens out, because when you have, I've said this before, Jack, when they have babyface teams that outnumber the heel teams, it's hard to get sympathy. This way, yes, you know, at least the odds are even in this situation, if that's the route they're going.
Yeah,
or route. I don't know how it's pronounced.
It depends what side of the border you're on, I think.
Right.
but Emily, so obviously the Wyatt Six, they always have these unsettling things. I was so unsettled by Miz's lack of wrist tape that I was hard for me to understand what was. I don't know why he always wears wrist. Miz, I need to understand, what was the lack of wrist tape all about? But the Emily, yes, the Wyatt Six were there, or the video footage interruption. Do you think it is going after the Final Testament, or do you think they're going after Miz or R-Truth?
Oh my God. They're going after everyone. they're just gonna take down the whole Raw roster. They're just gonna, bulldoze everyone. I don't know. I feel like there's more. I mean, there's clues. There's always little clues in the vignettes. And they're really creepy. I don't know. I feel like we have to see. But I don't. Is R-Truth winning tonight gonna help him, not be in the eye of the Wyatt Six? Like, not like he. Maybe it's a good thing he won, that he's not gonna be.
So you think they're like, oh, you win, so you are spared.
You are spared, exactly. Exactly. You're spared from the wrath of Wyatt Six.
The Wyatt Six.
It's a numbers game. You don't want like six against one. It's not good.
Wyatt Six, like, listen, we're against families that are breaking up, but also losers. Those are the people we hate the most.
So watch out, Miz.
Yeah.
Now watch out.
Yeah, that makes them sound like bullies. Like, we hate nerds and losers. Speaking of high school bullies, American Made had a promo package. And they say they are the definition of great. Dragon Lee has a promo package. Says he's going to achieve greatness. We also, as we wrap things up with the quick promo segments here, Judgment Day wants a rematch with Damian Priest. But instead, they're looking for new tag team title contenders. While Rhea Ripley says that Damian needs to move on from Judgment Day. And finally, Bronson Reed and Seth Rollins are both pitching Adam Pearce on why they should get a match with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Emily, any final thoughts on these segments and these promos? Anything that you want to point out?
Oh my goodness. I think the Damian Priest one, that's like super important. Again, they're planting that seed a little bit more. That Damian Priest, Rhea Ripley, they seem to have agreed on things. They're in a good place right now. I really liked this Bronson Reed sit down with Adam Pearce. I think it was really different sitting down with the GM, trying to get all your feelings out and your wants and needs. I think this was really, really interesting side of Bronson to see a little bit more character, a little bit more in depth of you know, who he wants to go after next. And again, adding that little breadcrumb of Seth Rollins, seeing where that's going to go to. So I liked all these. I think these were all integrated really great into the show. It added, again, I feel like these new formats, the 2-hour formats, they're adding more vignettes, more media packages, really getting to the heart of the story so that it can continue week to week. So I've really enjoyed it this week.
Something I really loved about these was Seth Rollins and his impassioned promo. I thought he did a great job as usual. So did Bronson Reed. Mm-hmm. I also like that Adam Pearce explained he likes to let the wrestlers sort things out. And that's why there's chaos and a little bit of anarchy on the show. I think that's a great character beat and explanation mm-hmm. for why sometimes things seem a little out of control as opposed to Nick Aldis. Jimmy, any thoughts on this? And any thoughts on Carlito being smitten by Raquel's
news? Yeah, Carlito couldn't get words together.
Not only that, he dropped his apple.
I know. What does that mean? That's bad.
That's bad.
That's bad. That's like bad juju.
Yeah. And especially in some parts of the world, it's very bad. But I enjoyed these packages. I really did. The American-made one stood out to me. I thought that was really well done. Of course, the Braun Breaker one was really good. The thing I liked most about Seth Rollins and his interaction with Adam Pearce was it wasn't the usual Seth Rollins we see out in the ring, you know, really amping up the volume.
Mm-hmm.
It was a conversation.
Yeah,
it felt like a real conversation as opposed to wrestling promo 101 and go out there and, you know, and you make sure everybody hears you in the back kind of thing. And he made his point clear, and I enjoyed that very much, you know. And yes, I like the little thing that Damian Priest said. He's moved on from Judgment Day. He's done business, but Finn Balor hasn't.
Yeah.
So again, is it done or is it not done? They're leaving you hanging with that one a little bit. So yeah, it's better having more questions than answers when you're going forward. So
Emily, Jimmy, do you want it to be done? Priest and Judgment Day? Do you want it to be over or do you want them to have another match?
I think they should have another match. I think there's still more there. But Jimmy, to your point that dropping an apple and what that means, there's lots of sayings, right? But I think the one that I looked it up real quick because I wanted to make sure that I got the phrasing right. So there's like the proverb that we've all heard, like one bad apple spoils the whole barrel, right? So again, this means a person who causes trouble for others can negatively affect the rest of a group.
Oh.
So I'm going to leave that there. And just let everyone ponder.
Interesting.
I was thinking I feel like I got a new saying. Like when I see someone like, oh man, they got people dropping apples. That's how good they are. And they look good. I
was like, wasn't there a song, One Bad Apple Don't Spoil the Whole Bunch of Girls? Or something like that. Anyway, I think that was before your
that's
time.
Cool.
Leaving you something to think about for next week.
That was the show. That was a great 2-hour episode of Monday Night Raw. Everyone in the chat, let us know what you thought of the show. Of course, our new rating system has kind of fallen off, but was the show living under a rock or was it on fire right now? You let us know as we go around the horn. Emily May, final thoughts on this week's Raw and where can the world find you online?
Yeah, this was a fun episode of Raw. Lots to unpack. So thank you all so much for joining us. You can follow me on social media on all platforms at Emily May Heller.
And Jimmy Corderas, how about yourself?
I enjoyed it very much. I thought it was a nice tight package. I looked at my watch and went, what? It's 1:45 already? 9:45? It felt like it flew by. And I enjoy that too. And like you said, Emily, the packages were all done very well. They were well placed throughout the show. And it made sense in their placement. And as far as where you can find me here on Mondays, usually sometimes and Wednesdays after Dynamite. What else have I got going on? Oh yeah, the Refin It Up podcast with my good brother in stripes, Brian Hebner, and RJ Holds the Glue Together. We had Ricardo Rodriguez. And I think this week we have the NWA champion, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, you know,
Mr. Latimer. And of course, the huge pop radio show up here in Canada on TSN Radio and iHeart Radio with my good buddy, Donnie Da Silva. This week, we spoke to Al Snow. I love Al Snow. He is so, so brilliant and funny at the same time. He should go on tour. Yeah. Let me put it that way. He's one of those guys that needs to do a comedy tour for sure. And again, my Ruff and Rants, every day I'm on all my social media platforms from Monday to Friday, just tightening screws that I think need tightening.
You know, I had the chance to interview Al Snow for the Wrestling Chatter, George Ramos's Wrestling Chatter. And mm-hmm. I had to ask, I don't know if you saw the show Wrestlers, he's on it. And mm-hmm. I'd ask him, "How could you're a funny guy? Why'd you look like such a grump on that show the whole time?" You know, if I only knew you through the show, I would have thought you're a grumpy dude. But if you talk to him, he's hilarious. His Twitter account is great.
He's also got a movie out, believe it or not, called Unnatural. Yes, it's a Western picture Al Snow with a cowboy hat.
Oh,
and JBL
does he have a head with him that also wears a cowboy hat?
No, I don't think they wrote that one into the script. But JBL does not show up and clothesline people randomly and leave.
Oh, well, I'll still check it out.
Yeah.
Well, you can find me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media. Make sure to check out at Wrestling Inc. for all the latest wrestling news. I love this 2-hour Raw, by the way. This 2 hours is awesome. I'm enjoying it completely. For you who like 3 hours, too bad. 2 hours is here to stay, at least until Netflix, baby. But that does it for us. Make sure to tune in on Wednesday for the AEW Dynamite after show and Friday for the SmackDown after show. It's going to be a good week of coverage. Don't miss any of it. Until then, everyone, like, comment, share, subscribe, 5-star review, Apple Podcast review, and stream.